You may freely share this message with others as long as you don't charge for it. Support for these broadcasts comes from your generous donations that allow us to give away our materials for free. To participate with us, please visit our website at themissionchurch.net. God bless.
Right now, though, I want you to find your way to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and the men will pass out some Bibles. Ryan, if I could get your help with that. Sean, maybe some help with that, passing out Bibles. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand. Ephesians chapter 4. And what I want to talk with you tonight about is the call of God that is on your life. You have a calling from God on your life. Individually, specifically, tailored for you. A specific call that God has put on your life that He wants you to walk in. It will involve serving others. It will involve building others. It will involve taking the gifts that God has given you and using them, the very unique and distinct gifts that God has given you, and using them not to glorify yourself, but to actually pour into others. This is God's will for God's men. I want you to know we make no bones about it. It is not ambiguous. We know what our role is in men's ministry. It's on the back of your binder. It is our men's manifesto. We are crystal clear. We know sure for sure what God wants from us. And say it with me, if you will. The first one is to be men who embrace the call of God upon our lives. Let me hear you all say that, a unified voice. We live to be men who
embrace the call.
We have to understand what that call is if we're going to embrace it. And that's what men's ministry is all about. All of us here on different places in the understanding that calling. Some of us have been walking in it for decades. Others tonight are just going to be brand new to this concept. But wherever we are, we wake up each morning with this goal in mind. Lord, I want to embrace your call that is on my life. I want to walk in what you have for me. And tonight we're going to look at that calling in Scripture once again. Not only do we want to embrace the call of God upon our lives, but that involves a very active process. One of the biggest parts of embracing that call is being a builder of other men. So let me hear you say that. We live to be
builders of men.
Man, that sounds good. Let me hear you say that again. We live to be
builders of men.
Wow. I tell you what, if we embrace that, if we believe that, as unified as we just said that, let me hear you say it again. We live to be
builders of men.
Oh my gosh. Just us here tonight, we would transform Carlsbad. We live to be builders of men. That means we realize that we're on a mission from God. He's got an assignment for us. He's gifted us with gifts, and we're to be using those gifts to be builders of men. By men, I mean men, women, children, everything, humans, right? This is His plan for our life. This is just more than just a manifesto on the back of your cover. This is what we are all about. And when we do these things, there's a third aspect of that manifesto that comes out. We reveal the lordship of Jesus Christ in our actions. I want you to know the goal that God has for your life is far more awesome than just not sinning. Well, I know I'm not supposed to look at pornography. I know I'm not supposed to drink. I know I'm not supposed to lust. I know I'm not supposed to be materialistic. Okay, I'll try not to do those things. What a lame existence. Our position is an offensive position. Our position, our calling by God is powerful. It is to do a mighty work. And when we do it, it reveals his lordship in our life. Lordship means his authority, his kingship, his power. He's our boss. It means that we do what he says, not what the world says, not what society says is right. We define life by how he defines it, not by how we define it. That's what lordship means. And when we walk in his ways, our life starts embracing his lordship. So that's our men's ministry manifesto. That's our purpose. And our purpose is crystal clear. Jesus wants us to know him, to know his love, his grace, and his mercy. Let me tell you something that you already know full well. This is one tough world to live in. We face battles every day. I can't walk into Starbucks without getting bombarded by some demon in spandex right in front of me, right? It's everywhere, right? We turn on the news and we're getting bombarded with the propaganda. We walk into a store or we turn on a TV and materialism hits us everywhere. There are all kinds of things to take us down. And here's what I want to just remind you tonight. Jesus wants you to know him, and he is for you. He knows this is a difficult world. He understands how dirty the streets are. The whole purpose of the foot washing ceremony was simply this. He who has bathed whole body needs only to wash his feet and he's completely clean. Paraphrased, what does that mean? Jesus is telling the disciples on the last night before he goes to the cross, I've already cleansed you. I've already washed you. Now keep your walk clean. Bring me your muddy feet on a regular basis. Let me work in your life. Let me cleanse you because life is tough. And I'll build you up. I'll cleanse you. I'll edify you. And he is for us. It is so encouraging as a man to remember, wow, God is for me. He's called me to be a spiritual leader in my family, in my church, in my workplace, in my community, in my neighborhood. And it's a tough role, but God is for me. He'll empower me to do this. He can illuminate my mind with the wisdom I need to walk in his path. Man, it is a privilege to be a son of God. There is no higher privilege. And I'm not a sexist by any means at all, but I want you to know unequivocally, there is no higher privilege than being a son of God. It is the very best. And you have a God who is so for you. And when you fall, he's there to pick you up. When you fail, he's there to restore you. When you crash and burn, he's there to help you get back on track. God became a man. He went to a cross and he died on a cross. His name was Jesus. He was God in the flesh. And he did all of that because he is for you. He is for you more than you could ever know. And it's inspiring to hold on to and to embrace that truth. Not only is he for you, he wants to lead us. He wants to guide us in everyday life. He wants to impart to us truth and wisdom, divine insights into the issues that we're facing, instructions for daily life. I am not being coarse when I say this, but I want you to know we are not bastards. We are not orphans. We are sons of God. And we have a Father who wants to lead, guide, and direct us to all truth. I don't know what kind of father you had. I know they fell short, but I don't know what kind of father you had. But I know what kind of heavenly father you have. And he's a good heavenly father. He wants to lead, guide, and direct you to all truth. And he wants to be daily active in our lives. And he does all that. The main catalyst of how he wants to lead us is through his what? His word. His word is his will. And when you meditate on his word, you will be amazed. He will speak not only directly from his word, but into the peripheral areas of your life where you're needing direction, how his word will illuminate those things. The psalmist would write, David would write, the man who were doing this study, following and learning about how God worked in his life. He experienced this, that God was a good father who led him and all these things. And he would write, God, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. More than mere poetry, he was saying, I'm amazed at how when I have problems and I open up your word, how it illuminates the path that you'd want me to walk on. This is our heritage. This is what he has for us. And he leads us in wisdom and discernment. He does it through his word. He speaks to us. And when we study his word, we're giving him our attention just like we are right now. We're giving him our hearts. We're saying, Lord, I want to hear from you. He also leads us through fellowship as we gather together as men of the church. This is so important for your soul. You may think, I don't know, man, it seems kind of weird. My first time here and all these guys, going kumbaya and everything. I don't know. This is kind of weird for me. I want you to know you were created for this and you need this. And if you'll embrace it, you'll find men in your life. You'll build relationships with the men that are next to you that will shore you up when you need it. And that you'll be able to shore up when they need it. And you'll find purpose in being able to pour into them. You'll see how God uses you. And when you're in trouble, you'll call upon them and they'll be there for you. I thank God for the men in my life, my brothers who just hold up my arms when the time is needed. Jesus not only wants to lead our life, but Jesus also wants to use our life. And how thrilling is that to consider? God wants to be in partnership with you. God wants to have you on his team. God is not on our team. We often get that mixed up. We are on his team. Big difference. His team is a family, by the way. And I love that he wants that for us. God has some awesome plans for our life. God has an awesome purpose for our life. He wants to use us. And the Bible, the theological word for that is called a calling. Everybody say a calling. A calling. And I want you to say this as well. I have a calling from God on my life. I'm not asking you to puppet these things. I'm asking you to say that and let that resonate in your heart. Say it again. Wow. Who the heck are you that you would have a calling from God upon your life? You want to know who you are? You are a greatly loved son of God. I love nothing more than doing things with my three sons. I don't care what it is. If I got to dig a hole, guess who I'm going to call? If I'm going to go play pickleball, guess who I'm going to call? If we're going to go fishing, guess who I'm going to call? Because they're the ones, they're my sons, they're the ones I want to be with. And you have a calling from God. Here's why. Why? Because you're a son of God. So what does this calling look like? It's not automatic. It doesn't just happen. Well, if God has a calling in my life, I guess that's it. I guess it's just going to happen. Tomorrow I'll wake up and I'll be... No. This calling is a calling into fellowship with your Creator. This calling is just like me and my boy. Hey, you want to go play pickleball? No, Dad, I'm busy. Okay. No, we can stiff arm this calling. It's not automatic. And Paul, in Ephesians 4, is encouraging us to walk in this calling. Take a look. Are you there, Ephesians 4? Yes. Give me a big amen. Are you there? Yes. You got the Bible open? Yes. Ephesians 4, here it is. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, literally in prison because of preaching the gospel. Prisoner of the Lord, figuratively, because His life belonged to Jesus. He didn't see his life as his own. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul writing, beseech you to walk worthy of what? The calling with which you were called. If you doubt if you had a calling, he uses the word twice in one sentence. I beseech you, which means I beg you. It means I implore you. It means please consider this. It means I can't express enough how much I want you to understand this. I beseech you, walk worthy of the calling which you have been called. And now he tells us some of the attributes that are needed to walk in that calling, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering. Long-suffering means patience, bearing with one another. This calling isn't a calling that says, I'm the hero, I'm the amazing one, let me impress everybody with how great I am. No. This calling is one that says, Lord, I'm a broken man. I'm amazed you want to use me. I'm so thankful. How can I serve, Lord? That is a big part of embracing this call upon our life. Verse 3, we're endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. There is a lot there, and for time's sake, we really have the ability to unpack it all. But here's what it's saying, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Let me just simply say it this way. We don't put up any walls and say, oh, there's John. Man, that guy. No. We endeavor to keep unity. I love John. And I love the way God's gifted him. And I've been blessed to watch Jesus work in his life. He serves Jesus differently than I do. He's got different gifts and callings on his life. But I love his gifts and calling. And together, we are better than we would ever be apart. Endeavoring to keep this unity of the Spirit, no strife, no walls, no, black hearts going, oh, I don't like that guy, right? This is part of walking in the calling that he has for us. Verse 4, there is one body. What is the body that he's talking about there? One body, what is it?
The church.
The church body. This is one body. We are one body. In other words, Dale and I are in the same body. George and I are in the same body. I love George's heart for the orphanage in Mexico, and I want to support him in that. And George loves my heart for teaching God's word, and he wants to support me in that. And we hold each other up because we're what? We're one body. And men, in this men's ministry, we are one body. And this body is pleasing to Jesus Christ. He loves his men gathering together as one. One body, one Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, directing, and gifting all of us. Just as you were called in one, say this with me, in one hope of your calling. What is the hope of your calling? We all have this one calling. It's very different for each of us. George's calling is different than mine. John's calling is different than mine. But it's all one calling, and there's one hope in this calling. What is the one hope?
To please the Lord,
for sure. Let's get even more specific. Let's get the shovel down even deeper in the dirt. What does it mean? Here's the one hope of his calling. He's going to unpack this later in the chapter. That we would look just like Jesus. That our lives would be transformed to look just like Jesus. So George is going to serve in a way that's different than I can serve. But when he serves, it's going to look just like who? Jesus. And when I serve, it's going to look just like who? Jesus. And when John serves, it's going to look just like, it's all going to be different. John has bought, I think, probably 4,000 Bibles. I don't even know how many. We've taken a bunch of them, and he's distributing Bibles all over the world. George is building an orphanage. We're helping with that. I'm teaching the word, and hopefully all of us are doing it, and it looks like who? Looks like Jesus. That's the one hope in our calling. Is making sense? You have a calling on your life, and that calling is that you would look like Jesus. Verse five. One Lord, that's Jesus Christ, the authority, the boss. One faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all. Doesn't matter what you touch, what you see, it's from Him and in you all. Oh my gosh. The Holy Spirit living in us, one God. So this is God's will for us. This is the calling that is on our life. And what an incredible calling. Jesus wants to use our life. And it's awesome to see how He does it. We see this in David's life, right? In our study. He takes this little boy, 14, 15 years old, taking care of sheep. And what does he do? He puts a what on his life? A calling. David, I got a job for you. And it's going to take a while before David is able to walk in that calling. It took 22 years, we found out in our study, right? From the time when God put his hand on him to the time when he actually became king over everything. 22 years. But the whole time, God was leading him and preparing him for that calling. To make him a man after God's own heart. To make him a man who reveals Jesus. And David's life clearly does. I want you to know, Jesus' plans for our life are so much better than our plans for our life. And you do not have to be hesitant to embrace this call upon your life. I am so thankful for Jesus's call upon my life. You know what my calling on my life was? You know what I thought my calling was? You know what I wanted? I wanted to be a professional motocross rider. And I broke my wallet and my spine trying to do that. And it left me absolutely empty. I then wanted to be a business millionaire, a businessman, you know, and I went down that path. And you know what it left me? Narcissistic, self-centered, materialistic, selfish, controlling, empty. And God's calling on my life has been so much better. God's calling on my life was to be a builder of men. And he called me to start with my wife. And I started building her the way he wanted me to. And now I've got this beautiful wife. It was just amazing to be with. He then told me to start building my kids, my three boys. So I tried to start pouring into them, and I messed up a million times, and he helped me and he guided me, and now I've got these three boys that are just absolutely amazing, all of them leaders in God's kingdom. Then he had me build a daughter, and she's the apple of my eye. I'm so proud of her. She's got a head on her shoulders that is just amazing. Then he called me to build men in the church and to build a church. And this is his way. It's so much better than the plan that I had for my life. And it's amazing when we begin to walk on it. Satan, on the other hand, knowing the power of a life devoted to Jesus Christ, would love to get us focused on other things. Instead of being focused on God's plan for our life, he wants us to get focused on some other things. What are those other things? Money, pleasure, what? Power, fame, sexual immorality, endless pleasure. I mean, on and on we could go, right? Yeah, focus on these things. Here's why. Satan distracts us with these things in a very strategic and purposeful attempt. Do you know what that attempt is? It's to bide time. To bide time. Here's why. Because life is very short. And days go by. and years go by, and decades go by, and then boom, suddenly your whole life has gone by, and you realize, I've wasted my life. I've wasted my life. What did I do? And Satan is very strategic, man. He knows life is short and time flies, decades vanish, and then our life is wasted away and we realize, I've been chasing trinkets. What a waste. I want you to know something, man. It is easy to waste a life. It is easy. And not my words, but Jesus' words, broad is the way. And most people go that way. Narrow is the road to life, and few men walk in it. This will not happen automatically. We have to set our minds on the things of Christ and really focus in on what God has for us. How horrible to get to the end of our life and realize it's all just vanity. You know what I want you to know for sure? No one gives a rip how much CEO Smith, how many millions CEO Smith earned during the days of his CEO empire. Nobody cares how much CFO Johnson earned, how many yachts CFO whatever earned in his life. Nobody gives a rip in 50 years. Nobody cares. It's empty. Nobody cares how big your portfolio is, little hedge trader. Nobody gives a rip. It's all vanity. And it's easy to waste your life. And a man who doesn't understand God's calling on his life will busy himself with foolish pursuits. And the enemy is at work. He's deceiving us. And what is he doing? He's just biding time. You know why? Because life is short. I can't believe I'm this old. Man, it's happened so fast. A man who doesn't understand God's calling will busy himself with foolish pursuits. But I tell you what, the man who understands God's calling will have life and life abundant. I want you to know I still enjoy a good business deal. I still enjoy a good motocross race. I watched Anaheim 1 on Saturday night. It was awesome. But that's not what I'm living for. That's not what my life is about. My life is about Jesus Christ. Read verse 1 with me one more time. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul says that with delight, not with pity. He's not saying, oh, I'm in prison. He's saying, listen, man, I am God's man, and this is where God has me. I've been arrested for preaching the gospel. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you, oh, I just wish I could convince you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. We don't have time to go into the depths of this, but I want you to hold on to this, maybe even write it down. Here's a really cool thing. When God calls us, he also does something else. Do you know what he does? He gives us gifts to walk in that calling. He endows us with spiritual gifts to be able to live out the calling that he's giving us. There's a couple brothers in the church that I love. One of them older. He helped another man start out a pool company and got him off on this little pool business. Then another brother in the church comes along and he sees the little pool business this guy started and says, now I want to help him take the pool business to another level. And the first guy hands off the guy to another guy, and now this guy expands his pool business and helps him. And they're both, what are they doing? Being a builder of a man. And I love it. And now the next guy says, hey, I'm going to give you the tools you need to expand your pool business. And in the same way, God gives us the tools we need to walk in the calling that he has for us. They're called spiritual gifts. Take a look at verse 7. Let me hear you all read this out loud, a thundering, booming, unified voice. Verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. To each one of us, circle that. That means you. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. I want you to know something. This has nothing to do with salvation. This is talking about spiritual gifts. There is grace on your life. Grace means you get things you do not deserve. It's God's riches at Christ's expense, the acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. By grace, you've been given all these things. You've been given these gifts, and to each one. John has been given total different gifts than I have. And Russ has been given total different gifts than I have. And Ray has been given total different gifts than I have, mainly really good hair. I wish I had that. And when we embrace God's calling upon our life, he endows us with spiritual gifts. Look what he says here, verse 7. Let's jump down to verse 11. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, some givers, some administrators, some artists, some encouragers, some, and the list could go on forever. There is no end to the gifts that God endows upon his people. The gift of wisdom, the gift of discernment, the gift of kindness, the gift of generosity, the gift, on and on and on I could go. He pours them out to each one. And look what he says, verse 12, for what purpose? For the equipping of the saints, so that you would be equipped to walk in the calling that God has for you. Put a little number one right there on verse 12. For equipping of the saints. If you're going to have a pool company, you better have a truck to clean pools. You better have a brush to clean pools. You better have chlorine. You better have advertising money. You better have all this stuff. And he equips them to do that job. And God does the same thing for you, for the gifts that gives you the gifts to walk in the work that he wants you to do. Put a number two by this one. Number one, for the equipping of the saints. Number two, for the work of the ministry. He equips you with the things that you need so that you can do the work that he's calling you to do. To raise a son, to raise a daughter, to build a wife, to heal a marriage. Number three, to edify the body of Christ. Or in other words, to build up and to pour into others. Your first ministry is to your wife, men, if you're married. To build her up and to make her amazing. And he's given you the gifts to do it. Until we all come to the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, and to the perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is his work. This is what he wants to do. This is the one hope of his calling, that we would be looking like Jesus. Not individually, but together as a body. I need what John has. I need what George has. I need what Ray has. And together, we have all the gifts. We are complete. We are perfect. We are lacking nothing to do this work in the world that God wants us to do. This is our mission. We are his men. This is what men's ministry is all about. And this is the calling of God upon your life. I want you to embrace it. This is more than ethereal. This is more than theological truths. These are practical things that we're to live in and we're to walk out. I want to close. I want to leave you with a little axiom, if you will. Worthy of writing down. Worthy of meditating on. Worthy of thinking about. A life without vision is drudgery. A life without vision is drudgery. Maybe you're a dishwasher at a restaurant and you're just like, same old stuff every day. It's drudgery. Maybe you're a CEO of a multi-million dollar business and it's just drudgery. A life without vision is drudgery. A life with vision is amazing, right? But a life without vision is drudgery. A life with the wrong vision is futility. Sunday, I met a man, first time here at the church. He had just given his life to the Lord 2 days earlier from another member in the church who led him to the Lord. He was talking to me Sunday after church. He said, man, I said, wait, how'd you get here? He goes, well, I was a young man. I started a business. He's only like barely 30, maybe. I started a business. I thought as soon as I make six figures, I'm going to be happy. Last year, I made six figures. This year, I increased that quite a bit. I've never been more miserable. It's empty. It didn't do what I thought it would do. Why? Wrong vision. Wrong vision. And now he finds that leads to what? Futility. What am I doing this for? A life without vision is drudgery. A life with wrong vision is futility. A life with godly vision is abundant life. When you begin to embrace the call of God upon your life, nothing is laborious. You can be thrown in prison and you write letters to churches because you understand what God is calling you to do, and there's no wasted time. This is our God. This is his ways, and this is his calling on our life. May we walk in it. May we embrace it. May we allow it to be more than just a good axiom. No, no, no. May it be the path that we're on. You say, how do we get there? Hey, maybe tonight you're in men's ministry and Jesus is revealing some new things to you. This is just brand new truth. I want you to know something. You're in a great spot. You're in a great spot. You're beginning to see God's calling upon your life. Way to go. Maybe you're already further down the road and it's time to really press into this and to allow some of the things that are keeping you from this to be brought to the light. I want you to know, we all get there the same way. We spend time in God's word. That's why you have a study guide. Don't just come to men's ministry and not get the paycheck, not get the reward of coming. Do your homework. Meditate in God's word. God's word cannot be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path unless you're spending time in it. So do the work, right? Do your homework. Don't come empty-handed. Come with insights to share with your brothers. Let God use you. Secondly, care for the guys in your small group. We're going to break into small groups right now. Take this seriously. This is your calling. Start caring for the guys in your group. I know this about us. We don't really give a rip. We just came here for me. I know that about us. That's our flesh, right? You are your brother's keeper. Go into your group tonight with a mindset. I'm going to start caring for other people. I'm going to start serving other people. I'm going to call these guys during the week. I'm going to text these guys during the week. I'm going to invite a guy to coffee. I'm going to take a guy out for a burrito. I'm going to build some relationships. This is not just about what I get out of it. I'm going to be a builder of men. And I want you to know, if you embrace this, not just here at men's ministry, but take a small step. This might be just a big enough step, just this alone, nothing else, just focus on this. Take a step, embrace this, and watch God bring it into reality. It is powerful. And I've watched him do it in my life, and I've watched him do it in thousands of men's life, and I never tire of watching him do it. It's amazing. So may we embrace it by faith. May we walk in it. Amen.
You may freely share this message with others as long as you don't charge for it. Support for these broadcasts comes from your generous donations that allow us to give away our materials for free. To participate with us, please visit our website at themissionchurch.net. God bless.